This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington, and here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
They are there, but we would like the number to increase. The men should not think that women want to come and out and take their places. We can share.
That was Cameroon's Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Marie-Thérèse Abna-Ondu. Details coming up also. 20 are dead and more than 600 injured in an explosion in Equatorial Guinea. And the COVID pandemic is hitting women the hardest. These stories and more ahead on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. That's the foreign minister of Equatorial Guinea, Simon Onyan Edna Angu, asking foreign ambassadors to his country for aid after a devastating blast in the city of Bata left at least 20 people dead. He says, quote, "I am asking from your excellencies for assistance from friends, brother countries and international organizations for helping the Republic of Equatorial Guinea in this lamentable situation," end of quote. The French news agency AFP says as many as 600 people were injured by the massive explosion at the military base outside the country's economic capital, Bata. TV footage shows buildings burned and flattened in a wide radius around the Nacoa Norma camp. The explosion comes as Equatorial Guinea, an oil producer, is suffering a double economic shock because of the coronavirus pandemic and a drop in the price of crude oil. The former Spanish colony has been ruled by President Teodoro Obiang Nguema for 42 years, making him the world's longest-serving sitting president. In Cameroon, thousands of women are holding events to mark International Women's Day and protesting their lack of political power in the country. The women, joined by rights groups, note, "All of Cameroon's most powerful offices are held by men, and there is not even one female regional president or governor." Mokedwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
In Cameroon's capital, hundreds of women gathered Monday for International Women's Day, sang that all across the world, women are longing to be free. Women no longer want to be in the shadows or forced to stay behind, they sing, but want to be side by side in true equality with men. Cameroon Women's Peace Movement's Mumabi Yvonne said their protest is part of events to mark Women's Day. She said many Cameroonian women are more qualified and professional than men, yet few are in leadership.
We have 63 ministries in Cameroon, but only 11 of these 63 ministers are women. It is not like these women did not go to the same school like men, acquired the same certificates. But when it comes to appointments, it takes the political will because it's the head of state who appoints. A presidential decree was just signed appointing members to the National Commission for Human Rights and Freedoms. Out of the 15, we have only 3 women.
Yvonne listed what she called a litany of grievances women have against the state of Cameroon. She noted there is no female governor out of the 10 appointed by President Paul Biya and no female president elected in any of the country's 10 regions. Cameroon's Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Marie-Thérèse Abena-Ondua, said the government supports women's rights but wants them to guard against the virus.
All the efforts that are being made for the promotion of women should integrate the existence of coronavirus. They want a better representation in decision-making, in the police, in the territorial administration, ministerial posts. They are there, but we would like the number to increase. The men should not think that women want to come and out and take their places. We can share.
Ondua said, within the past decade, the government has done a lot to improve women's representation in decision-making. She noted a third of parliamentarians in the lower house are women, up from less than a fourth just 6 years ago. And a quarter of Cameroon's senators are women, up from a fifth. But University of Yaoundé lecturer in gender issues, Rigobert Ahanda, says more needs to be done to end discrimination against women.
Qu'ils soient votés à l'Assemblée, que les partis politiques ne respectent pas.
He says Cameroon's parliament should, by law, ban from elections any political party that does not have a quarter of at least 30% for women. Ahanda says the government could also stop subsidies to political parties that ask women to get permission from their husbands before running for office. He says a national gender observatory could be created to make an inventory of qualified women to facilitate their appointment in every administration in Cameroon. International Women's Day is celebrated every March 8th to bring attention to women's contributions and still remaining inequalities. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
As the world celebrates International Women's Day, women in South Africa say they are battling two pandemics, COVID-19 and gender-based violence. Numerous campaigns and protests against gender-based violence have been carried out, but violence against women continues unabated. As Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg, many women say something should be done now.
The South African women say this year's International Women's Day finds them in a difficult position. When the COVID-19 pandemic struck in March last year, they were already battling a scourge of murders, rape, domestic violence, and other forms of abuse against women. Primrose Mtetwa, a young woman living in Johannesburg, says every time she steps out of her home, she's not sure if she will return in one piece.
It seems like daily the stats increase and the ages of the victims become younger and younger. So it is a serious concern for me. I'm not sure what it is that we could be doing to reach these men, because it seems like they are not only abusing these women, but now they are killing them as well.
Tendai Monica says the COVID-19 pandemic has not only brought new challenges for the women, but also fueled abuse against them.
It also has emotional and psychological effects on people. So it's unfortunate that because women are the less masculine gender, they are at the receiving end.
Social and racial justice activist Zolaika Patel says the sad reality is that the coronavirus pandemic has also left many women more vulnerable to abuse.
A lot of women have been left unemployed due to the pandemic, have lost jobs. Girls have been put in a position to leave school. Girl children have also been forced to take up roles as being parents and head up households because parents are no more.
According to the country's crime statistics for 2018-2019, a woman was murdered in South Africa every 3 hours, and hundreds of rapes were reported each day. In his weekly letter, President Cyril Ramaphosa praised the women who dominated the frontline workers in hospitals, saying they displayed resilience and bravery. His government has set up a fund to capacitate activists and women's rights groups in their fight against gender-based violence. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Senegalese President Macky Sall in the 2024 election. His supporters maintain that the allegations against him are aimed at derailing his political future. There have been several days of protests supporting Sonko, in which at least 4 people were killed in confrontations with security forces. The anger of Sonko's supporters has been accelerated by broader, long-standing grievances with Sall's administration. basically immunized against the virus. But law enforcement agencies such as Interpol say organized crime groups are already taking advantage of weak systems to sell fake vaccines on the continent. Darren Taylor reports.
The Africa Medicines Agency was created to harmonize medicine regulations across the continent. Its treaty was unanimously adopted by the African Union in 2019, but so far, only a minority of nations have ratified it. Nigerian crime analyst Maurice Ogbonaya says because of that, it's easy for criminals to move falsified and potentially dangerous COVID-19 vaccines wherever they want in Africa.
It boils down to weak regulation by state regulatory agencies. It boils down to corruption by those who are saddled with the responsibility of ensuring that the regulations are put in place. It also boils down to a complete absence of a continent-wide regulatory framework.
Cynthia Genole represents the International Federation of Pharmaceutical Manufacturers and associations.
Globally, 20% only of the countries have a well effective developed regulatory system in place. In Africa, a lot of countries don't have this regulatory system, and that is very important, you know, to make sure that the medicine that enter the country is safe and that you can then also control.
South African pharmacologist and WHO medicines advisor Andy Gray says most of the continent's 54 medicine regulators exist in name only, and that only a handful have some of the processes in place to ensure that citizens are not exposed to unsafe medicines. One of these is South Africa. A senior official at the country's Health Products Regulatory Authority, Mulungisi Wondo, is confident his inspectors will prevent falsified and substandard vaccines from getting into South Africa. Wondo acknowledges that illicit pharmaceutical products do sometimes slip through.
The problem now, it will be your smuggling where people are false declaring, saying it's closed, and then it may be in the middle of the container, they'll put those boxes of medicines. Those were then may go through because of the false declaration.
This is what happened in November when police found thousands of fake coronavirus vaccines labeled as cosmetic injections at a warehouse near Johannesburg. So says Gray, even in South Africa, where systems are much better than in most places on the continent, there are gaps. One of these is that pharmaceuticals aren't actively policed. Instead, he says, the system holds manufacturers and importers accountable and inspects them, but law enforcement does not check each product. So he says, South Africa may be missing problems.
Our medicines go across into neighboring countries. Is somebody slipping falsified versions across into those countries? We don't know. Are some of the imported medicines that are arriving on our shelves not the ones that we expect to find? We haven't detected any, but it's not impossible that they are happening.
Nigerian investigative journalist Ruona Meyer has spent years exposing illicit medicine traffickers in West Africa. With authorities under pressure to immunize, she says, many vaccine administration sites are going to be poorly regulated. And she points out most African countries don't have secure vaccine storage facilities.
We have a real vaccine, but do we know what goes on after that? That's where we might have people who might now break the content of the vaccine. The same way somebody will take pure kilos of cocaine, they will mix it with all sorts of things so that it can spread out more.
Mayer's experience tells her criminals involved in smuggling illegal medicines target areas where regulations are weakest. In Africa, she says, that's not hard to do because the entire continent is weak. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
22-year rule, reporter Pandera Mbai in Raleigh, North Carolina, has been following testimony at the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
The massacre of about 60 migrants in July 2005 was the main theme of the TRRC proceedings this week. Stalin revelations included testimony that German security mistook them for rebels and killed them in cold blood. Cyril Kijera is the chairman of Gambia's Victim Center.
We are saying sorry to all the West African migrants on behalf of the people and the government of the Gambia. We are saying sorry for that embarrassing moment. We have registered all sorts of victims for the YIGMS atrocities. So today it's not just the West African migrants who are affected. It is not just Gambians who are affected.
Martin Kairi was the lone Ghanaian survivor in the mass execution of the West African migrants. Kairi is demanding justice.
It's not easy for us. It's getting to 16 years now. We are fighting for justice. We brought the family together, moving from Accra to Kumasi, going to foreign affairs. It seems the effort was there, but the political will is not there. So now, through Jamme to Justice campaign, we have been have access to present our case in TRC.
Emmanuel Diouf, chairman of the National Human Rights Commission, says the TRRC's never again mantra should not only be implemented, but enforced to the letter.
You cannot have never again without making sure that those who are the perpetrators are not put to book. So on those words, I will say again, my solidarity with all of you. We're in it together. Even if there is no political will, we'll have to push the government to make sure that the political will is there.
William Nyanko is chairman of the Jamme to Justice organization that seeks to pressure the government to help extradite the former leader from Equatorial Guinea.
Ghana and Gambia attempted to do a joint investigation. Of course, at the time, Jamme was in power, and joint investigation was scuttled, and Ghana had to push back, and then they established this ECOWAS UN body to do a fact-finding.
But Boubacar Ba, a police officer involved in the investigation of the migrant massacre, said there was a cover-up to mislead UN investigators. He told the commission he was asked by the former police crime management coordinator not to cooperate with the UN investigators. Under questioning, former Interior Minister Babacar Jatta confirmed his initial statement that the state sanctioned the migrants' massacre, which he said was then covered up. For VOA News, this is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
The minister was visibly relieved, saying it wasn't the bloodbath she had been expecting in light of the COVID-19 lockdown and the impact on education. Pressure groups are still calling for the government to do more to close the gap between rich and poor schools. Vicky Stark reports from Cape Town.
Kalam Obono Eyono is the top achiever in one of South Africa's 9 provinces. She's won a place at the prestigious American university, Harvard.
I'm going to Harvard was a dream of mine, and it still feels like a dream even though I've been accepted.
The 17-year-old, whose parents are from Cameroon, says while it's subject to change, she's planning to study economics with a minor in African studies.
My desire to study economics is linked to one of my aspirations. I want to work in decolonizing certain African economies.
Kalom says she's grateful that she went to a very good government-run public school.
We were a pretty well-funded public school.
But not all public schools that fall under the Department of Education, or DBE, are the same, as a researcher from the pressure group Equal Education, Stacey Jacobs, explains.
So South Africans divided all public schools into five quintile rankings. Quintile 1 to 3 schools are no fee-paying schools, and quintiles 4 and 5 schools are fee-paying schools. So in order to rank these, the DBE looked at the income, literacy, and unemployment levels in the community.
She says the COVID-19 lockdown that saw schools close for over 6 months highlighted the long-standing inequalities within the education system.
We saw that better resourced public schools were able to better adjust to facilitating remote learners. There were learners from under-resourced rural and township schools struggled with that. There was a report that said that it was easier to sustain online learning in wealthier households as compared to those from poorer households, because some learners did not have any access to desks or books, computers, or even access to the internet. And just to give you an example of that, only 20% of learners in no-fee schools have computers at home, compared to 50% of learners in fee-paying schools.
Jacob says efforts to improve the quality of education in poor schools are beginning to pay off. She cited data from the Trends in International Maths and Science study.
South Africa does rank low in the overall ranking, but our country's rate of improvement has been one of the fastest. And I think it's important to note here that these improvements have been seen in our more poorly performing schools. So it's not to say that it's all doom and gloom for them.
But she says efforts must be made to ensure pupils finish high school. She says the dropout rate is over 50%, and is calculated by looking at the number of children who were in grade 2 and who matriculate 10 years later. She says there are predictions that the lockdown caused even more young people to leave school early.
You know, with the added hardship of the pandemic, some learners were also required to support their families financially and with other household responsibilities, and unfortunately that meant that they had to abandon school.
Jacob says they won't give up their fight for equal education.
There is definitely more that government needs to do in order to decrease that inequality gap. Of course, we're still seeing the legacy of apartheid. Of course, we're still seeing learners who don't have the resources that they need to meaningfully engage with the education system. And I think that definitely needs to be looked into. A well-funded education system lends itself to proper infrastructure for learning to occur in a conducive environment.
With a high unemployment rate, Jacobs prefers not to comment on whether having a matric certificate prepares school leavers to find a job. But she does believe that obtaining a meaningful education prepares them well for participating in society. This is Vicky Stark for Voice of America News in Cape Town.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, thanks again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UK.